Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Wisdom of Ada Marie. I'm the Golden Oracle. I'm Mary Blake, your host. And I wonder, how many times have you kicked yourself for passing up a wonderful opportunity? Most of us have a million of them. Stock we could have bought, real estate that turned into a gold mine, ideas that someone else made a fortune on, people who could have helped us if we'd only asked. For many, many years, Ada Marie has been teaching ways to make the most of opportunity and even to create your own when you need one. So I'm going to just turn it over to you. And Ada Marie, let's talk about how you handle opportunity and how you help your clients.
Well, most of the time it's common sense. It doesn't make any sense to sit back and wait for somebody to come find you. That doesn't make any sense at all. There's too many people out there. So when you hear of something, look into it. There's only two things that can be said, Mary. One is yes, and the other one is no.
Okay.
You can either say, yes, I want to talk to you, or no, I'm not interested. And if they're not interested, like my dad said when we were young in high school, he said, you were looking for a job when you found this one. Now you just got interrupted for a bit. Now go on back on the road, look some more. He was very much on the idea that get out there and look, and you'll find it. If you really want to work, you'll find it.
Uh-huh.
So, and I truly think that most people, and it's worse today than ever before because there aren't that many jobs, that most people used to have, or we did as we grew up, pride in our work. And when we got a job, we did our best so that we would be appreciated. But today...
Mm-hmm.
Believe me, it doesn't seem to be that way. I had a real experience yesterday, Mary. I went to the post office. In the post office were two letters telling me that I had not made my house payment and my car payment in March. The next two letters were letters. One of them had written on the outside of the envelope, this was found on the floor in the Phoenix Post Office, that was my mortgage payment. The other envelope said, this was open and I didn't have anything to put on it, so I tucked the top inside. This was in my mailbox. I live in Orlando, Florida. Well, I immediately went to the bank to take care of the problem with my mortgage payment. And then I went right over to the car place, and the lady looked at the envelope, and she says, Florida? I said, I live in Oracle. I never left Oracle. Isn't that ridiculous? I mean, what kind of help do we have at the Postal Service today? I mean, it's really odd. So
yes,
that is
very strange.
Yeah, but I immediately went and took care of it, and they waived the fees because they said they hadn't. One lady at the bank said she's had about four different people who have not been able to get their mail paid. I said, well, let me tell you a secret. On the 1st of April, I will be visiting you, and I will have a check in hand, and I will pay it in person. And I said the same thing to the lady at the car place. I said, I will be in your bank on April 1st, and I will have the check in my hand, and I will hand deliver it to you. I'm not taking any more chances like this. Ridiculous.
Uh-huh. So what you did was you acted immediately. So that's
right.
What you're recommending.
Everybody.
You know, it's a very bad habit that has turned into a sort of epidemic, and it's called procrastination. So,
well, I never learned that word. My father didn't know it existed, I don't think, because there wasn't any time to stop and think about would I or wouldn't I. It was just do. and the word is spelled D O. So. But in the process of that, Mary, that's where opportunity is always knocking at your door. As long as you're alert, as long as you're doing something, opportunity will show up. A lady called and she said, well, I haven't been able, the only job I can get is tending for a woman who has been in the hospital. I said, take it, take it. She said, what do you mean? I said, it's not your occupation, but if you want a job, take one now and you will get the one you want. If you hold your ideas for the one that you want, then you go and take care of the lady, and in somewhere in the process, the job will show up. I guarantee it, because I've done that myself. I got into a town with the kids, and I didn't have a job, and I saw this sign that said jobs available. I walked in there, and they said, well, what can you do? I said, well, I can do about anything. What is it you want? And the lady said, well, we need somebody to man the phone and take care of the complaints. I said, I'm good at that. I'm good at that. And I took the job. It was a horrible job. But it didn't matter. Within 2 months, I had a really good job because one of the men that called with the company was complaining about his employees and how they were not very good employees. And I said, well, my upbringing was that you do the best job you can for anybody you work for. And therefore, if you can do a good job, they're going to like you. So what is it you don't like about your employees? He said, well, they're lazy. I said, well, I never heard that word before where I grew up. And he started laughing, and he said, how would you like a job? I said, what do you pay? And when he told me what he paid, I almost dropped the phone. I said, and these people aren't working? I'll be right over. So I made an appointment to see him that evening and for a cup of coffee at 6 o'clock. And I met him in a cafe at 6 o'clock. We had a cup of coffee. I went to work the next day. It was just that easy. Yeah, because he was complaining so badly, I felt sorry for him. But the truth was, he was right. People were shoving stuff under the desk and in the trash, and they were not filling his orders. So he was in trouble. So, you know, but I went to work for him, and I did the phoning, and I, between phone calls, I packed packages for him, you know. I did two jobs, but I packed the packages because he had to build his business back up. And finally, we built it back up to the place where he had four people working, and all I had to do was answer the phone for him and check the girls that they were working, not talking. Which was really good. I made good money. Very good.
That was marvelous. So that was because you took a job that you really didn't want. It was not a good job, and yet it put you in a position to get a good job. I think that's what you're saying.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying if you got any kind of a job, I don't care if it's cleaning house for somebody, if you got that job, another job will come. And when the better job comes, you can change. A lot of people quit a job, you know. You just have to get one. You just have to get one. Like my dad said, if you're sweeping a street and you're doing a good job of it, somebody will come along and ask you if you know how to do something else. And if you do, and you tell them, they'll hire you. So he was very matter-of-fact about life. He said, it doesn't matter. As long as you're working, that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to be productive. And if my dad was God, I would believe it. Because we always had to be productive.
Absolutely.
He always would come back with that. He wants us to be productive, and he wants us to be proud of our work, and he wants us to do such a good job that whoever employed us is proud to know that we can fill the bill and do the job. He never allowed a negative. It wasn't to be had. And I know people used to say, there's always one way, and then there's Clint's way. But he would think everything out, you know. He would think things out, and he would say, okay, this is the least amount of problems we can have if we do this and this and this and this. And he was right. Because I think he did it when he slept. I think he went to bed at night and woke up in the morning with the answer. And I have done that sometimes.
That's a good way to do it, actually, Ada Marie. That really is.
Well, that's true. I've done that when the kids were in school. You know, I had all mm-hmm. those kids, and they were in school. And I would have to figure out how to jockey my time in the nursery and then be able to do things that the kids had to have done. And they'd come in like, I have to have this skirt hemmed for choir. I have to have it tonight, Mama. I have to be there at 6 o'clock. Yeah, mm-hmm. and that's like 4 in the afternoon. And I need
okay.
the skirt hemmed by 6 o'clock. Well, it got hemmed, but believe me, it among everything else,
it might not have won a seamstress prize, but it got done, huh?
That's right. And I learned to hem dish towels when I was a little girl, so I knew how to do it. But I did a slip stitch on that thing and just tied it off and sent her to choir practice. She was fine. It stayed that way for a long time. So opportunity is being aware to what's happening around you and what you are willing to do to make the opportunity appear. It will appear if you make an opportunity for it to appear. Like the lady who that I was caring for, I got her in a car accident, and I sent another lady to care for her. And this lady was easy. I mean, she was in a wheelchair, but she was very easy to care for. I never heard so many complaints in my life. The first week she worked there, she complained about everything the woman said and did. I said, well, she's in a chair.
Uh-huh.
She's in a chair. She can't get out of that chair. She's not complaining. She's just trying to be able to do as much as she can and talk to you about it and have you get things for her so she can continue to work. She's actually a working woman. Well, why should she work when she can get a pension? I said, that's not the question here. She needs somebody to help her. And you're supposed to be getting things that she needs to work with so she can keep on working. Because she was on she was in one of those wheelchairs that they rolled some way, and she could go from her computer to her wherever that cabinet was and get back. And sometimes she had to have help because this idiot woman was putting stuff in her way. She couldn't get around, see. So I told her, I said, you don't have to sit down. You can stand up. Move those chairs around so she can get back and forth. She won't bother you at all. And when I came back, after I got over what was going on here, I went back to work for her, and she goes, oh, you know, that lady doesn't even know how to come in out of the rain. I said, I got it. But it was true. She didn't want to work. There was a number one cause. She really didn't want a job. You see, if she had wanted a job, that was the nicest person in the world to communicate with. But if people don't want to do something, they make their life miserable, their own life and everybody else's. So
sometimes there's opportunity there, but you have to kind of dig deep to find it. How do you go about that?
Well, the only way I know to go about it is to keep your ears open and be aware. Now, awareness means that you're paying attention not only to the job you have, but to what's happening around you. Like, okay, I went to work in a place. Now, this is going to sound funny. When the kids were little, I got a job stripping comics. This was a company that paneled books for, you know, all the stores and everything, like Life and Post.
Sure.
Okay. they hired people to strip the magazines. So you were a stripper, stripping the magazines, and you had to strip the comics too. You had to strip the cover off, and what they did was they sent the cover back to the company, so they got paid back for all the covers they sent.
For the magazines they didn't sell.
Right, right.
Okay.
The ones that went to the dump. Okay.
Yeah.
So I had this job as a stripper for this magazine company. And there were four of us girls stripping comics. So we went to lunch one day, and somebody, I don't know, the waitress, I don't know, somebody was listening somewhere, and Connie was a kick. She really was. She says, "How do you like stripping?" I said, "I could strip 100 a minute." She said, "You can?" I said, "Yeah, I can." She said, "You got to be kidding." She said, "The best I can do is 81. I said, "No," and then this other old girl, she hadn't been with us very long, she said, "Well, I don't think it's fun to do stripping." I said, "Honey, just think, there's a penny on every strip. There's a penny every strip you make, there's a penny." I thought these men across the aisle was going to die laughing. So finally, the waitress came over and she says, "What do you girls strip?" And I said, "Comic books." I thought they were going to choke.
So what did they do? What did they do with the comics?
Throw the book away and they send the covers back to the company.
Right.
You know, that's what they do. So, but finally one day when I was standing in front of the restaurant waiting for it to open, a man came up and said to me, he said, "You're one of those girls that strip comics?" I said, "Well, yeah, it's a job. It's better than nothing, honey." He said, "Well, you know, we were in the restaurant one day when you girls were talking about it." And he said, "I went home and told my wife," and she said, "That's not possible. Nobody can strip 100 times in 1 minute." I said, "Sir, I was stripping the covers off of comic books. And I found a way to do it real quickly." He said, "Oh, thank you, because I couldn't, none of us could figure out what you girls were talking about." But see, of talking to him, about 2 months later, I got a job because of him. Because he told somebody. Yeah, because he told somebody about me, and he says, "I don't know what else she does, but she's got kids, and she's got this job for the publishing company." And so we were eating lunch, and a lady walked up and said, "Are you the girls that work for the publishing company?" And, you know, Connie says, "Oh, yeah, we do. And so she said, and are you Marie?" I said, "Yes, I am." And she said, "I would like to speak to you privately later. Maybe when you get off work, could we meet for coffee?" And I'm going, "Oh, yes." I said, "Yes, we can. And then I met with her for coffee, and she said, "What do you type?" I said, "I type 100 words a minute, and I can do more, but I can only do 100 words a minute. Perfect." And she said, "Okay." And then she asked me a few more. I said, "Are you talking about a job?" And she said, "Yes, I am." She said, "I'd like you to interview you on Friday afternoon at 4 o'clock. I said, "Oh, that's interesting. That's when I get off work." And she said, "Yes, and our office is just 2 doors down the street, and we're on the second floor." And I got a job. I got a job working for them with twice the money.
Oh, that's
wonderful.
So that
was a good thing, you know. But the fact that I could type didn't mean a hill of beans to stripping comics. You're stripping comics. You're just pulling paper, you know. But just listening to us crazy girls, that's how I got the job. That's how the opportunity appeared.
Except somehow someone heard that you were fast and you were sharp.
Yeah, right. That I could strip 100. I could strip 100 a minute, and that was 100 comics a minute, because comics is a sleazy paper, cheap paper.
Yeah.
And in order to do that, you have to be able to hold the top down and the bottom and strip with the other hand. And I figured out a way to be able to do it. So I figured out by using a stack, you know, a stack.
Yeah, sure.
Comics. And then
do a
stripping.
Lot of them at one time. Mm-hmm.
No, one at a time, but you used your other hand to hold the top of the comic down so you could slide it out. You could push it out. You'd pull one way and push the other way at the same time.
Huh, amazing.
You know what I mean? If you if you have a magazine or a notebook and you want to tear out a page, you have to hold the rest of it down so you can tear out the page, right?
Sure, of course.
Okay, now with these silly things, they were light, so all you had to do was you get the top corner and then come down. You know those rubber things we used to put on the end of our thumbs?
Yeah, sure.
Well, that's how you did it. You had one of those, and the paper stuck to it, and the way you went. And then
Amazing. Everything
went down in a pile.
Uh-huh.
That was years and years and years ago. But a more recent opportunity was the fact that I actually had a lady come for a retreat. And the lady that came said, I would like to be able to refer some people to you. And I said, okay, just have them call me. I'll be happy to talk to them. And so a year went by and another year went by. And this was like 2.5 years later. This couple came and they said, we've been referred to you by Monica. I said, Monica? Because I'd forgot who Monica was. She said, yes, she came for a retreat, you know, and she works in the film business now. And she really talks about you all the time. And this was like 2.5 years later they came. So I got a retreat from Monica after these people waited for 2.5 years to come to see me. But you just don't know. When you're sowing seeds, you don't know where they're going to fall. So, and she sent me that couple, which was very nice of her.
Absolutely. Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah.
So,
you don't know where your opportunities
follow,
come from.
You have to follow up when people mention something. Mm-hmm.
You do have to follow up.
What do you do to help people create opportunities when they think
what
there isn't
any
around?
What I do is I tell them to have a dream. Think about something you really want to do. Write it down on a piece of paper. Be specific. Write it off in longhand with a pencil.
Mm-hmm.
That's graphite. Now, that's wood and that's lead. Write it out. Right. Write it out. Read it 3 times. Fold it up. Stick it in your wallet or stick it someplace where you can get to it. And see how many weeks, days, or even sometimes it'll take a month or two. But whatever you hold in that thought process is going to come to pass. So be careful what you write, kids. In fact, I was just reading it. I did a class in it, you know. I taught a 10-week class in it, and everybody in the class who took the class was thrilled to death because I had did the whole class about how you make the affirmation. You write it down, you read it 30 times, you fold it up, you put it away, and Mary, it comes to, and nothing you can do is going to stop it from coming. It might not come for a month or a year, but it'll come, and it'll come
when
you
expect it. And
it
might not look like what you thought it was going to look like, maybe,
That's right. It doesn't usually look like what you thought it would look like. I was trying to find that paper. Here it is. People think it's a shock that it happened, but it happened because they're the ones who set it in motion to happen. No matter what, how long it takes, it's going to take however long it takes. But sometimes it happens overnight. One time, somebody said to me, "What are you doing now?" I said, well, I'm listening. I'm thinking God's going to give me a message. So I got my mouth shut, got my eyes shut, and I got my brain shut off so I can hear. So,
okay.
You know, but you have to... You have to be clear and quiet. That's the important thing, that you are clear and quiet, that you allow yourself to be still so good things can come. They can't come if you mess around and ruin them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You can't make it happen. It doesn't happen. So I always say, when I want something, I sit down very quietly by myself without no radio. We don't have a radio here anyway, or a television, or, I don't have that sound in my house. I don't have negative input in this house. When people
mm-hmm.
come here, they never want to leave. When they come to do a day or a week or a few
mm-hmm.
days, they don't want to go
mm-hmm.
home. They say, oh, it's so peaceful. It's so peaceful, so wonderful. I said, turn off your television. Turn off your radio. Turn
mm-hmm.
off your earphones and just become a person. Don't
mm-hmm.
be caught up in all the commotion that's going on in the world, because you can't fix it anyway except to pray.
Mm-hmm.
If you pray, you'll do some good. But if you, that's all you can do, and no matter what... you know, prayer heals everything eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So opportunity comes if you say, okay, here's a real, in the class, somebody said, okay, I'm asking for an opportunity. I don't care what kind of opportunity. I don't care where it comes from. I don't care what I have to do. I just want an opportunity. Okay? The
mm-hmm.
fourth week into the class, guess what happened? She got an opportunity. The opportunity came when one of her friends got too sick to take a job on a cruise ship.
Oh, my.
And she had to decide if she would take that position.
Uh-huh.
And she didn't want to leave. I said, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity. You either go or you give it up. It's right,
mm-hmm.
simple, either yes or no. So after
mm-hmm.
much deliberation, her friend talked her into it. And the next thing you know, that's what she was doing for a living. She was being whatever they did on that cruise ship. She went to work for the company.
Uh-huh.
But in the beginning, she didn't want to go.
Uh-huh.
Because it came, well, you know, how do I know what will happen? What if the boat sinks? I said, well, don't think that way, and it won't.
Uh-huh.
I mean, now that opportunity came because a very close friend of hers who did that kind of work, that's
uh-huh.
what happened. She had surgery and she was very ill and she couldn't go anymore. So her friend went and loved it.
Uh-huh.
But she didn't like the idea of leaving.
Right. So when you ask for an opportunity and it shows up and you don't do anything, then do you sort of cut off your more opportunities from coming?
It's just like what you do when you cut off your nose to spite your face. You'll say, oh, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that. So nothing in anywhere near that field will come around you again. You're done.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Now, if you get an opportunity, here's one of the things that the class really reiterated back and forth. They said, if you get an opportunity and you look into it, I remember Carol said, you know, this is a very good opportunity, but I am trying to get my degree. And if I take this opportunity, I'll be 2 years before I can go back to school to finish my degree. And I really have to have my degree. And
mm-hmm.
then she was like, you know, a year and a half out from her degree. So she said, I am choosing to ask the universe to allow me to stay in school and then bring the opportunity back maybe later or some opportunity similar to what I want to do. And she did. Uh-huh. She stayed in school, and 3 years after she got out of school, she was able to get the same opportunity, came back again. The actual same one came back because they remembered her, and she was no longer in school. And then the owner of the company, the lady who owned it, wanted to interview her, and she hired her. But that was because, you know, in California, it's really funny. There's lots and lots of jobs, but it's you really have to connect with the owner or the boss that you're going to work with. You really have to have a good connection there in order to be remembered and things like that. I mean, you can have a lot of knowledge, but the knowledge is useless if you're not easy to work with. You know, if you're going to complain a lot, then you're not going to work much. So a lot of people lose when they go to interview for a job. They talk about how bad their last job was, and they automatically they automatically shot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, I hear you.
That's something they should never do, ever. You know, that's they're doing themselves a disservice.
Yeah.
And and that happens. I mean, people just talk too much. Yeah, if they talk a little and listen a lot, they're likely is not going to get hired.
That's
one
very
lady said she went to be interviewed, and she said the guy talked a whole hour and a half. She never said anything. And he said, when she got ready to leave, he said, "Well, thank you for coming. I'm going to review your resume. It's the best interview that I've had yet." And she hadn't said 10 words, but she listened to him. See, and that's what he wanted. He wanted somebody that would listen to him. And she got a better job.
Oh, that's interesting. Because... So really, the man wanted someone who would really pay attention to what everything he said.
Right, that's what he wanted, and she handed him her resume, and he laid it on his desk, but what he remembered was that she listened to him.
Right.
And very often, that's what the boss wants you to do. They want you to hear them out, and don't break your opportunity by talking too much. Listen. You'd be amazed what you find out.
Fascinating thought. You know, most people think, you know, you have to say, "I do this, I do this, I do this, I do this." But the actual fact is that the business is about the boss and what the boss wants.
Right, what he wants. It doesn't matter what you can do, you know. Or she.
Or
right.
She.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
If more often than not, when I would be in a job and they were looking for someone to hire, no matter how much how good their credentials were, they would say, "Well, that's fine. You've got a nice piece of paper there, but let us show you how we do it."
Yeah.
And I found that very interesting.
Right.
That the degree was didn't teach them to do things the boss's way or the company's way.
Well, that's the important thing. You know, if you do, they got a system working that works. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in business. So if they hire you, they want you to make that work faster and more efficiently. Don't change it. Just make it work. And a lot of times, I know a girl that every time she goes to work, she starts running the company and she don't last very long. You know, they get tired of her. And I told her, I said, you're not there to run the company. You're there to do what you're told. Just do what you're told and go home, and you'll be able to keep the job. And she didn't like that very good. She wasn't too happy with me. But the truth was that she was always, well, they're antiquated. They don't know what they're doing. I said, obviously, $1 billion later, they don't know what they're doing. I don't quite understand that. You know, okay. I don't quite understand that.
Yeah, so I once knew a fellow who took a job as network marketer, and he immediately set out on reinventing the whole marketing plan, and taking it and saying, "Here I've got a new marketing plan for you. This is the way you ought to do it." And he never lasted very long.
No, you know? I'm sure he didn't. Right. Because, you know, people don't hire you to run them. They hire you to work for them, to do what they want done. And the young people today are not good workers. They have no pride in their work. I mean, look at the postal service. I mean, there is my mail hanging out all over the country instead of getting to its destination. I mean, what's going on with the postal service? You know, one of my things was over in Phoenix laying on the floor, and somebody picked it up and folded it up and stuck it back in the post, in the mail again. It came back to the house, thank God. They took the address off the check and put it in the place where the mail should be, and, you know, to send it back to me. I'm telling you.
You mean the envelope had actually been opened and the check was...
The envelope was opened and the check was out, and so was the coupon. So whoever found this thing on the floor took the check and folded it over and taped it to the front of the envelope, and it came back.
My goodness. Funny.
Yeah,
that's
well,
crazy.
It was certainly thoughtful of somebody. I mean, I thank God.
Yeah, absolutely.
I thank God that somebody did something. They took a piece of scotch tape and taped it right onto the envelope. And so this was found on the floor in Phoenix, open on the floor in Phoenix. I mean, that person, I thank them and thank them and thank them, even though I don't know who they are. That was a very gracious thing to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, that was. And, I mean, I've seen the postman taking, you know, out of those things that you stick the mail in and outside. And I've seen them taking the mail out of those things, and the wind is blowing, and it's blowing letters to hell and gone, and they're just letting them fly. They're not picking them up for nothing.
Amazing.
And that's why I don't like to mail anything outside anymore, because we have a lot of wind here.
Sure.
So, but anyway, that was just what happened to me. I'm done with that. I got it fixed. But I want to tell you about an opportunity.
Go ahead.
I want to tell you about an opportunity that every living person has.
Okay.
And this opportunity is given to us from God. He gives us the opportunity to be able, whatever career we're in, whatever field we're in, He gives us the opportunity to think out the best option to do the work that we are given to do, not to change the company per se, but to do the job that we are given to do. And you know, sometimes you just make one little change in what you're doing and everything flows easily. But He will come to you in a dream if you ask Him and give you the option. That's how I found out how to strip those comics. I had a dream about it, and it made perfect sense. I got up the next day and went to work and was thrilled to death. And I had it happen again when we moved to California, because I got a job in California managing a bunch of houses. I worked for a church, and they had 150 homes that had been donated to the church, and they couldn't get anybody to collect the rent. Every time they did, after 3 months, they'd run off with the money. So I got the job. And they were scattered all over Southern California, so I had to drive all the time. Well, what I found out was that I made envelopes for the people, and they could mail to my house the checks, and
I would send
them back a receipt in the mail. That way, I didn't have to drive 280 miles every month to pick up the checks. Well, then, after about 3 years, they said, well, we're going to, this was when this was in the 60s, he said, what we're going to do is if everybody pays their rent on time for 1 year, that'll be the down payment on their house, and they can take over the payments. They'll own the house. You know, the, whatever's on the mortgage.
Yeah, sure. Rent to
buy.
Well,
I drove around, and I visited every one of those people. Everyone I visited personally, and I said, this is what the church is offering you. Now, if you think you're going to have trouble with a payment, call me on the phone. Just call me up on the phone. I want to know about it. So they did. So I would loan them $10 or $20 or $5 or $7 so they could make that payment on time for 1 year. And at the end of 1 year, every one of them was able to keep their house. The church had to let them go. They gave them the, you know, the house was sold to them because they did their, they followed their contract. And somebody said, how could you do that? I said, you know why? Because it's very hard with a family of one or two kids even to be able to get that mortgage payment on time every single month. And I knew they were all working hard, and I knew they were all good people, and there was no way that I was going to let any one of them down. And they all paid me back. They all paid me back. And that, because that was agreement. And when I took the agreement to them, I said, now you listen to me, and you listen good. If 10 days before you're to get that check to me, you make sure you got that money, and if you don't, you call me up, and I'll see to it that I'll put in the $7 or $10 so that you can pay me later. And they did.
So you made the opportunity for them, and they They took advantage of that opportunity. Is that right?
They did. That's right. I made the advantage, and they took the opportunity for the advantage. And the wonderful thing is that to this day, all of them that are alive, many of them are not now, but I was still getting Christmas cards and letters from them. And they would tell their kids what happened, how they were able to own a house because I made it possible. But they worked hard. They were hard workers. And you have to have faith. You have to have faith. Mm-hmm. That was an opportunity that was unbelievable because all these people worked, and they all and once a lady went to the hospital, and I had to help the man for 2 months because he was alone with the kids, and his wife was very ill. She had broken her back, and she couldn't do nothing. And, you know, I covered for him. I covered for him.
My goodness.
Yeah. Because it in those days, the rents were like $45, $49. You know, a high rent in those days was $50, $60. But, but things weren't that easy then either.
Right. Things it was hard to get the $60 together. Yeah.
Sometimes it was, yeah. So, that's an opportunity. Now, I was given the opportunity to make an opportunity. I did it, and people have made opportunities for me. In fact, just recently, we needed to get wood for winter. And a man came, and he said, do you want wood? And I said, yes. He said, come and get it. Now, Mary, wood is $300 a cord. You think that wasn't an opportunity? We spent 1 week hauling that 5 cords of wood up into our yard. Now, take 5 times 3, and what have you got?
You got 15, sure.
$1,500 worth of wood.
Mm-hmm.
That was more than that was a wonderful opportunity. Wonderful.
Absolutely.
And this is what he said. He said, I've given it to a number of people, but they won't come and get it. I want it moved. The next day we were there. The next morning.
Okay. There you
because
are.
Because it was an opportunity. It wasn't easy.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard work. But it was an opportunity. So don't discount an opportunity just because you have to put forth a little effort. Get yourself together and put forth the effort. You know, just do it. Do it.
Yeah.
And
I know perfectly well that you have absolutely created opportunities for some of your clients. Could you tell us about some of that?
Well, okay. I will tell you about one girl who had a child in California. And she was very good, but she was a little too shy, you know, for most of the bigger companies. So I had people in the film business who were in the offices and running things. And this one girl, she was very good. She was a mathematician. She was very good with math. And so I got a hold of one of the department heads. And I told him, I said, I want you to do me a favor. I've done several for you, and I'm going to I'm calling my ace here. I want you to hire this girl. I want you to put her to work, and she's still there today. Because I made the opportunity open, and she said, I'm a little worried. I said, what did you say? This is an opportunity. I'll do it. I said, you don't have to dress up. You don't. The people who dress up in that business dress up for a reason. You're going there to work. You dress like you're going to work. And she was fine. She's still there today.
That's amazing.
I did that in a lot of places. I've done that for a lot of people because I knew their talent. And the thing is, I won't do it for somebody who won't work. I will only help somebody find a job because they're willing to put forth the effort to do a good job. I've had people come and just get me a job. I said, I can't. Mostly because the first thing they did was complain about the one they had. And if they're going to complain about the one they got, what should I tell you?
Yeah.
There are some bosses that are pretty nasty. That's true, and I know that. But for somebody who complains about nitwitty things, they don't want a job.
Yeah. I know Phil Donahue used to say his grandmother taught him, don't explain and don't complain.
Right, right. Keep your mouth shut. Yeah.
Well, what if they ask you, why aren't you there anymore?
Who said that?
And what if the prospective employer says, why aren't you there in that old job anymore?
Well, there's many reasons you can say to him. Say, I'm looking for a better job with better pay.
Okay.
Because obviously you're interviewing for better pay. You know, and I have recommendations.
Or better opportunity for growth or something like that.
Yeah, right, right. There's no way to move up forward in this company. I want to go where there's an opportunity to grow.
And that's usually true. So you're saying that you meet the opportunity on a positive level. Is that what you're saying?
You can only have an opportunity on a positive level. You cannot have an opportunity on a negative level because it don't work. It doesn't happen. It doesn't ever pan out. The truth is, opportunities are positive if you are willing to walk the mile to take the opportunity. Because they aren't always easy to.
I was going to say, are there times when, as a seer, you can recognize opportunities that they would never even have thought of, maybe even just kind of create?
Well, now, Mary, when people call me and they're working on something and they're having a difficult time with what they're doing, I will ask them one or two questions, and then the channel will tell them what to do. And I've heard several people being told different things that they would have never thought of, nor would I have thought of, but they worked, and they made that made their business fly, and it was been good, been very good. But I, Ada Marie, am an ordinary person. So if somebody asks me a very important question, what I consider important, it has to do with their health or their work or their family, I channel. And sometimes I hear things, why didn't I try that, you know? But I channel.
Right.
If I see something that looks like it would work for me, that I gave somebody else, I try it for myself. Okay, the other day you said these are tags, and you sent me some tags, and I never even heard of a tag before, but I looked at them, and I went, oh, interesting. Now, what do I do with these things now that I know what they are? And because there's an opportunity, I got to figure out how to make work, you see. Because all these years, nobody's ever talked to me about a tag. Nobody.
Okay.
So you did that. So that's an opportunity for me. I have to figure out what to do with it. So don't you see, sometimes you don't know where wonderful things come from everywhere. And a lot of times I've heard the channel tell somebody some very strange thing. Like one time I heard the channel tell a man to walk to the end of the street. Do not look right or left. Cross the street.
Yes.
And I went, well, sir, I don't know what that means, but, you know, don't get run over by a car. You know, but he was told not to look right or left. He was told to walk to the end of the street and cross the street, which he did. And I heard from him about 6 months later, and I said, well, I don't understand. Oh, he said, I'm the man who walked across the street without looking right. Oh, I said, okay. And he said, you know what happened? And I said, no, I don't. He said, well, I'll tell you, this is the strangest thing I ever saw. I walked across the street, and there was a man standing there, and he asked me what my name was, and I told him what my name was, and he says, come with me. And he took that man to an office in which he laid out some kind of a whatever they were doing. And he says, now this is a job that you should have taken. And he's still working for him, as far as I know.
How about that? Listen, we have someone who wants to ask a question, I believe. Hold on just a second.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello, Ada Marie. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you? And who am I talking to?
My name is Jean, and I was wondering if I could ask you a question.
Go ahead. Try.
Well, I am wondering if you can help me out, what I need to do to have a successful reconciliation with someone that I used to date.
Are you on speaking terms?
Yes.
That's good. That's headed in the right direction. It doesn't look as though they are very ready to redo the relationship. Seems like there's something there stopping them. Is that correct?
Yeah, I guess there's a little bit of hesitation on both our parts, so I was trying to figure out what I could do to try to take out any obstacles.
Well, you know, a leopard doesn't change its spots, honey. You know that, don't you?
I do know that.
Well, are you willing to go back through this again?
Well, I think there was a lot of misunderstandings before that seem to have cleared up.
Well, just remember that what goes around comes around, and people don't just change. They change for reasons. And then they flip back to themselves again after a while. So take a good hard look at this situation before you reconnect.
Okay.
Yeah, and what I'm also getting is that if you go back into the situation, you will be sending out the signal that whatever this person did that caused the breakup was okay, and they can do it anytime they want to.
But see, that's a bad thing. What's happening, I can see by her auric field, is that she doesn't like to fight.
Yeah.
So,
mm-hmm.
That being said, she'd better turn around and run.
Okay.
You'd be better off.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate your insight.
Well, honey, you're very sweet inside, but everybody isn't that way.
Yes, no, I'm aware of that.
You figured that out. Okay.
Yeah.
So walk the other direction.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Right,
but I think that there's something else. You have to make an empty space for new stuff to come in.
Right. One door has to close for another one to open. That's a fact. That's always been like that. And why should she be going into harm's way again? It's not necessary.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So. It just shouldn't be that way.
Yeah, she's gone. But we have about 3 minutes left. So,
okay. So
I think you can climb up on your stump and say anything that you want to about opportunity, since we're closing up the subject.
People have to wake up and look for opportunity, and then when they see it, don't run from it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they have to do. And do you have my number? Did you give them my number?
No, that's for you to do right now.
Okay, it's 520-896-9510, and my web address is Ada Marie at the golden oracle oracle.com. So there I am. If you want to call or come, and if you call, leave a message and say what the best time to call you is, because I don't know what state or city you're in, and I'm in the same time as California right now, as far as I know, but we don't change our time. So when the time changes, we stay at the same time, so then we're with Colorado. It's kind of a crazy thing. But let me tell you, opportunity is around all of us all the time. We just have to listen and be silent to receive the message. That's how you receive the message. Opportunity comes through the silence. Remember that. It's a good thing to know. And I guess, Mary, that's the best I can tell them. Because when you least expect it, it shows up.
Exactly.
When you
and
least expect it.
Opportunity is... Well, basically, it's what you make of it, isn't it? When you get
mm-hmm.
right down to brass tacks, opportunity is only as good as the energy and the imagination and the creativity that
it
you
is,
put into it.
Right. That is true. And you must act on it immediately because it disappears, just like it appears. It appears and disappears
mm-hmm.
quickly, you know?
Exactly.
So please remember, opportunity is around you every minute. Just pay attention. The more silent you are, the more attention you can pay. So pay attention, and then you will know when it's time to speak. And I guess we're off the show, so I better say goodbye.
We want to just say love and light to everyone, and thank you for for listening in. And
we'd love to hear from you. Right. Okay, honey. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.